comment, and Mr. Thomas, you had a comment to make?
Yeah, two things. First is that there are several folks here from Los Osos who want to speak on Los Osos related issues, and I called the board's attorney a few minutes ago and talked to him about this, and I let him know that I thought that any discussion about Los Osos issues, given the pending adjudicatory action, would be ex parte communication. And Mr. Richards agreed, and our recommendation to the board is that you do not allow any discussion of Los Osos issues. And secondly, I wanted to say that the board has not had a chance to read the prosecution's submittal. That was due today. So any attempt to parse out issues that you think may or may not be related to a future enforcement action, I think it would be dangerous to do because you haven't read the submittal yet. So you don't know the scope of the submittal or what's being proposed. Mm. So I would recommend that you don't try to parse out certain issues.
Mm. Can I ask a question, Mike? Do you mean all the social issues or just issues related to CDOs?
I'm saying the board hasn't read this document yet that the prosecution team has submitted, and therefore they do not know what is in it.
Right. I'm just saying, should the board not hear discussion about Los Osos at all or just about Los Osos CDOs? Because there's other issues.
I'm saying about Los Osos issues at all. I'm saying it in the broadest sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Gary.
Yeah. You know, public comment is a time for people to speak on any item not on the agenda. I can understand where, you know, we should probably constrain ourselves from commenting on that, on a Los Osos issue, but I don't see any reason to not let people come and talk to us and say anything they want for their 3 minutes.
However, the big difference is when we're in the middle of a adjudicatory hearing.
Are we?
Yes.
I thought we had to start the whole thing over.
No. Oh, okay. No. What I ordered was the prosecution team to resubmit their case. It's right. Not starting from the beginning where we're having public comment all over again. And so, but even with an item that we know is coming to our agenda, mm-hmm. that we're going to be dealing with, we can't have ex parte contacts. So even putting Los Osos aside, that's how we handle these things.
Yeah.
For instance, if we knew, knowing that an NPDES permit is coming before us.
I guess we don't even have our attorney here, huh?
You don't.
We have our attorney on other items not related to.
No, I mean, this is a procedure.
That's right. And that's Mr. Correct. Thomas contacted our attorney.
And let me.
Let me ask you this. What's the ex parte problem? Is the fact that they're addressing us without the other parties here?
Yes. It hasn't been noticed.
Now
I'm just trying to understand.
Figure it out.
Because I think, you know, public comment.
It's important.
It's something we should tread on very carefully.
Yeah. However, if we were to go outside, nobody can talk to us about Los Osos
that's
related to the enforcement action.
Yeah, but that's not in a meeting situation.
Yeah, I don't think it really changes things at all because all interested parties have the right to be present. When the board is here, it's going to be hearing the item, and we're getting information.
So it's because it's a live adjudicatory action. That's why. Yes. It's not because it's not just because not all the parties are here. It's because it's an ongoing, right? That's why.
Well, it's both. It's both because you can't have the board receiving information that everyone else who's interested in is not present to hear and to be able to comment on.
Well, that happens with all kinds of issues.
Yeah, but not adjudicatory.
Right. Not while
in the middle of one.
In the middle of one. That's the key point.
Yeah.
And how is this public comment different from all others?
Public comments, right.
Right.
It's not just in the middle of an adjudicatory proceeding. Yeah. It's one that's pending. Before the board.
Yeah, we have started it.
Right.
I didn't start it over completely. So we're in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. And also along these lines, Michael Laufer, Office of the Chief Counsel, he wrote a memo to all the water boards on July 25th of this year, and he dealt explicitly with this issue. And he said in his memo to us that comments on a pending adjudicatory issue are ex parte communication. It's black and white.
So, you know, I think if we're going to either allow it or not, I think we better be protective, not of the public being able to speak, but of the, you know, the adjudicatory process and the due process concerns that other interested parties may have, and not being here to hear what, you know, we're being given information-wise.
And Mr. Chairman, also, there will, if the chair decides that there will be a hearing on this pending action, there will be opportunity for public comment.
Well, there's no more public comment. When you say this item, which one are you referring to?
The pending action?
Yeah, we're not starting over with public comment. What we're doing is having the prosecution team resubmit its case, which is what you're telling us has just happened.
Yes, I have the submittal.
Yeah, and so we're starting at that point.
Okay. So depending on the hearing notice that that will go out, if there is a hearing, that hearing notice will describe the proceedings for that hearing, which may allow other parties, designated parties, to submit additional information based on the prosecution's case.
It's possible, yeah. I mean, Mr. Scheib sent a letter in to us that was disseminated to everybody and I guess put on the website?
I don't believe it was put on. No, we didn't put it on the website.
Okay.
We can do that.
Wait a minute. Did everyone get that?
No.
Okay.
I sent that just to you.
I got that as the chair because there was a request attached to it. Okay. Well, I think what we have to do is, and you're not involved in this, Les or Monica, is, I mean, if there's anything legitimately that's not involved in the adjudicatory hearing, people could talk about. But, you know, I'm kind of leery to let people get up here and then they just cross over the line and then I've got to lower the boom on them. And I've seen that happen before with, you know, Los Osos speakers. So what would...
I'm convinced, you know, that the interest of justice in the hearing, the ongoing hearing, is definitely outweighs the public forum aspect of this.
Okay.
And so I just wanted to, you know, folks came from a long way away, and I don't really, you know, I'm very concerned that they get the chance to have their say. So, but in this case, it's clear that your ruling is the right one.
Okay. I mean, certainly they are entitled to send letters to the prosecution team. I mean, I think some of these issues that may be raised have to do with maybe persuading us to do something with the hearing process, and that really needs to be sent to the prosecution team. If they're concerned about something, that's where it goes. In terms of procedures, they can send those letters to Mr. Thomas and myself for consideration in terms of, you know, timing of things like Mr. Scheib did. I think that's still appropriate, but we just have to kind of put a lid on what's going to happen. Did you submit speaker cards?
I did submit a speaker card. I just wanted to say that I'm here. This is not at all about the pending.
Okay.
Well, I am not a defendant in case.
All right, but why don't you come up here so I know who you are, but if this has to do real...
Shut me off, that's fine, and I'll stop.
Okay, but let me... What is your name?
My name is Ann Norman.
Okay, but you put here pro-sewer Los Osos.
Yes.
Are you going to talk about the sewer situation? Well, I'd rather you not do that.
Come up to the microphone.
Yeah, come up to the microphone,
yeah.
And then The thing is, the issues involving the sewer, the Tri-W site, the alternate methods that are being looked at, the adjudicatory hearing, the CDOs, all of that we don't want to hear about.
I understand that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but saying, you know, if the subject is pro sewer, it's clearly related.
Well, I know, so I'm just...
Do you have an agenda item on your next month's meeting where I might not be able to attend? And it relates to a Ripley presentation for the type of sewer that might be built. So I was hoping to come here today and comment on that.
Mr. Chairman, I have to interrupt
That's
again.
It.
That we shouldn't. You should not be discussing anything about what
that
might be
isn't
done.
Gonna be
might
helpful.
Be built.
But,
okay.
but I would hope that she sends in her comments. And they will. They can be part of the record, even though you can't attend.
Wait, is Ripley coming before us at the...
If she says there's an agenda item.
That was my understanding. And
I don't know the answer to that question. The agenda has not been finalized for October.
I haven't seen anything myself about
that. So what would be the most effective way, then, to get my comments to you as board members and have them really be read? Because I know you're super busy. Obviously, you have a very full agenda throughout the whole state. What would be the best way for someone like me to actually have my comments really register?
Well, here's the thing. The Ripley project is not before us. We don't take issue with it. We're not taking any proposed action on it.
Yeah, I understand that.
Nothing is being presented to us on it. That is an issue within the Los Osos community, okay? And my understanding is it's referred to in the prosecution team's case. And so that's why I don't want to have any comment on it.
Okay.
Whether you're in favor of it or you're not in favor of it, it's best just to leave that out.
Okay.
At this point. By letter, but who's it going to go to? There's no more public comment.
Because it's not really about that case.
Right?
It's
yeah.
just about the presentation at your next meeting. And
yeah,
so I understand the blurriness of it, but I'm wondering how, you know, average citizens with a pretty balanced view can give their input about ongoing agenda items.
Well, okay. If it is on our agenda, then you can send in comments, and I would assume if it's on the agenda, assuming it's on the agenda, then there's something to comment on.
Right. Assuming it's on the agenda, and like I say,
on the agenda.
The agenda has not been finalized. If it's on there in draft form, now this having been brought to my attention, I want to talk to John Richards about that and see whether it should be on the agenda.
Yeah.
For October.
I don't know that it
is. I might be incorrect. That was just, you know.
I don't think we have anything related to it on the agenda in the near future.
Okay.
I can clarify that if you'd like me to.
Okay.
I received a request from the district several weeks ago, just before this agenda went out, and they asked to get an item placed on the agenda to discuss the Ripley proposal. I said that it was too late to get on this agenda here in Monterey, but they'd be welcome to come to Santa Barbara. So that's where that discussion is coming from. Based on what I'm hearing today, I doubt we'll see anything on the agenda in October.
Because we're not going to have an October meeting.
Well, because of what Michael is saying here.
Right.
Whether we have a meeting or not, it looks to me as if there won't be a Los Osos item on that agenda.
Right. Okay. What that means is if something does come on the agenda, that would be your opportunity.
Okay.
To comment on it at that time during the hearing or to send in a letter in advance.
And my question would be, how would the board learn about details of the proposal?
Well, what will happen is that any of the 45 individual cease and desist order recipients.
Yeah, which we are not.
Okay. Well, the only way you're going to learn about it is through the hearing process if one of the interested parties wants to discuss it.
Designated parties.
One of the designated parties wants to discuss it.
Now, my question was how would the board become informed about the details of the proposal?
Only through that process.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not receiving any information on it at this point.
Okay, thank you. I
don't know if that kind of clears things up. We're going to hear about it because through the hearing process, it'll be discussed.
You think so?
Well, the prosecution team has it in its papers. Is that right, Michael?
I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't finished reading this. I just
I'm assuming some of the designated parties, you know, the individual homeowners, are going to want to talk about it. And that's how we're going to, you know, be apprised of it. Community Services District most likely will discuss it. And these are assumptions. I'm assuming that. I don't know for sure. And if no one discusses it during the hearing process, at this point, there will be no opportunity for the board to learn of it unless they read about it in the news or the media. So.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions I can answer about this? Come on up. In your name?
Galen Ricard, Baywood Park. Yeah. And my question is, I think Mr. Thomas said that he received the memo on July 25th. I'm not sure when you received a copy of the memo. But I think a number, probably all the citizens who traveled here today, six-hour trip, carefully checked your website about process and protocol, and it could have been so easily posted on the website if there was any concern at all. So I'm surprised about that. I'm surprised that the CSD wasn't notified as a courtesy, that they might have helped get the word out.
About what?
This decision you're making today to shut off public comment.
It's not a decision I'm making out of the blue.
I understand.
This is a decision that would be made by any board chair sitting with any item that is going to be pending before the board.
So well, you all had great discussion, you know, trying to come up with the right action today. I mean, I appreciate that discussion. So, you know, it's not that maybe any board would have made it. It was, you know, you gave it some thought, and it's the action you decided to take based on counsel.
I understand that, yeah.
But again, I'm just, you know, it is frustrating that citizens who took the time to check the website rely on that to know what the process is and that there wasn't the courtesy of posting it.
And posting what? That this decision?
Posting that for...
I didn't know who...
We had no idea any of you were coming,
until people
so there was no reason to for anyone to make a ruling on it because nothing happened at that point.
You have a section on ex parte, you know, and it would be a place to maybe add that update of this memo, which seems to be a new nuance on ex parte.
I agree. We could do a better job getting that information out. I was actually looking through the agenda for today and the general information that's in the agenda, and I thought this is something we can update to make it clear to folks.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to give you that, share that thought.
Oh, listen, I can appreciate that. I would not want to drive to a meeting myself and then find out when I get there that it was for naught. So I can appreciate that, but there's no way for us to anticipate who's going to show up and speak, and ex parte communications apply whether I'm sitting here with my board members or I go outside. And I run by one of you and someone wants to have a discussion about Los Osos. It would still apply. But that may not have been obvious, and perhaps you thought that you could come to the board meeting and get into these Los Osos issues.
Speaking to all of you, not one of you, right?
Yeah, and it wouldn't matter. I mean, we could all be, you know, the four of us could be out there.
Because the other parties it would have to
be. Yeah, that's really what the problem is. It's not a complete picture.
Well, you know, and as your discussion showed, it isn't really black and white. You know, this being public comment, you know, not being an agendized item, lots of gray, and you know, it's really a new twist. And
okay.
That's all. Just
thank
wanted to
thank you
to
for your
that.
Comments.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. McPherson, do you have some comments to make?
Yeah, I do. I think that this is a public meeting, and it's noticed, and public comment is noticed, and the other parties have an opportunity to be here. Whether they are or not is up to them. I wanted to talk about 2701 and just...
Okay.
I want to talk about legislation in Sacramento, which has nothing to do...
Hey, wait a minute.
Hey, this has nothing to do with the case or the
CDOs. Ms. McPherson, please.
Yes, Mr. Young.
There's no discussion about Blakeslee's bill. Okay. Nothing that might come up during our adjudicatory hearing. Period. This is not the time and place for it. The only thing we noticed in the agenda was public comment.
But the public comment is not about anything to do with the CDOs. It has to do with legislation that's in Sacramento that has nothing to do at all with those.
No, it is related to it. It's in comments that have been submitted to me by Mr. Scheib and are in the prosecution team's.
Mr. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but even having this kind of conversation is going down that path.
Yeah. We are aware of the legislation, Ms. McPherson, and that is all I can tell you. So if you have concerns about the board's adjudicatory process, you can submit them to Mr. Thomas and myself.
I don't have concerns about the board's adjudicatory process. Okay. I have concerns about the public process and the right to speak at a public forum that is not on items that aren't ex parte.
Okay. Well, I believe, and it's my ruling, that these are ex parte. They mm-hmm. infringe on ex parte contacts with the board that involve issues that we're going to be ruling on and information that we're going to have to be considering, and I just don't want to cross that path, that's all. So please respect
I'm trying very hard to respect the decision, but something so broad as Los Osos is very, very broad. If we were talking about pollution from car wash runoff in Los Osos, that would be a Los Osos issue, and it would be barred from speaking on. It doesn't make any sense at all, and I don't think it's right.
Okay.
But I just want to register that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Cesena. Okay.
Thank you, Chairman Young. Chuck Cesena. I'm with the Los Osos Community yep. Service District. I'll keep it zipped because I don't really want to cross the line. But I did prepare executive summaries of the Ripley Report. I'd like to just leave. I don't want to talk about it.
No.
Let him leave.
Well, yeah, you can leave it with Mr. Thomas. I don't want you to hand it out to the board. Just give it to Mr. Thomas. And thank you. Okay. The difference is the board can't see the content.
Hello, my name is Lawson Schaller. I am from Los Osos, so I guess I'd try to keep it short. Did drive a long way. I'd like to make a comment. Understand I cannot. I guess I could at least register my objection and disappointment to that ruling, respectfully. And then secondly, on a positive note, that was great work by Seekling.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Alvey.
Oh, Chris Alvey, Los Osos. I'm not going to talk about Los Osos. But I've been to probably 200 public meetings here all over California, a lot of them in Los Osos and whatever. And it's my understanding that in an open public meeting, you can talk about anything except maybe a terrorist acts or you're going to kill somebody. I don't really see what's happening here. I can see no difference between what this board wants to get across and what our people want to get across. And it completely eludes me why you're not letting us talk. And in other words, what is so different from this and some public meeting in Los Osos?
The difference is, and there are rules that apply to boards such as ours, that when you have an adjudicative process or hearing that's ongoing or even about to start, that the public can't come and comment on that out of that process. So you're right in terms of general public comment. Public can comment on anything not on the agenda. There's an exception when you've got a hearing that's underway of the nature we have with Los Osos. It's the way it is.
All right. Well, I don't know. We didn't, of course, have an agenda. We couldn't get one of Los Osos, or nobody thought to ask for one. But
an agenda of what?
Of what the hearing was going to be about, and there's whether we could or couldn't speak, conduct any public speaking.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, but we're not going to hear anything about Los Osos today. Thank you for your comments, and I appreciate your objection.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Scheib.
I hope saying hi is not ex parte. I was heading up to Oakland this weekend, and I figured I'd stop in and say hi to you. I had a couple questions just for clarification. So my understanding is now that no one can discuss Los Osos matters with the board with the exception of timelines. Not the prosecution staff, not the taxpayers watch group or the CSD. Basically, you guys are kind of off limits.
Well, we're off limits. So that you understand what.
Okay, that's why I'm asking.
Earlier, if you have issues about the process,
yes,
procedure,
that's
the
timelines.
Procedure of the hearing and timelines.
Okay.
You can submit them to Mr. Thomas.
Okay.
And Mr. Thomas and myself and the board's attorney review that information. That doesn't go to the entire board.
I understand that.
Okay.
Okay.
If you have issues about what the prosecution team is doing.
Yes.
And the types of enforcement actions they may be considering.
Yes.
You can communicate with them.
Okay. And I have.
Tell them you don't agree with what they're doing. You do agree. Whatever you want to do with that, you can address that to them, but not to us.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay.
Okay. It's timelines and procedures we can discuss with you.
Anything
okay.
Regarding the procedure? No, through a letter.
Yes,
to
I'm sorry. Through Michael
right.
Thomas.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay, I just want to make sure I understood that. Second is, will we be able to comment on item number 18? Because I'm not positive, but I just reading over it, item number 18 is regarding enforcement report by Harvey, and I figured that was going to have something about Los Osos in it, and I could be wrong on that. But if he does comment on Los Osos on that, can we address his comments?
Didn't do 18. Well,
good question.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Harvey Packard, I have had no plans to say anything about Los Osos.
Okay.
Okay.
That answers the question.
Okay.
In the future, if he reports to you, can we do that? Or, I mean, is there going to be anything?
There will be no discussion coming from me about Los Osos except at the board hearing regarding
okay.
Los Osos. Yeah.
Thank you for that. And I'd also like to just let Mr. Shalcroft know that I did inform the prosecution staff that I was coming up here. I was told that there was a chance I wouldn't be able to talk on CDO matters, though I didn't realize CDO matters was going to be quite so broad. So, okay.
Yeah, and then, yeah, it probably would have been better if you contacted Michael Thomas, then he could have got the answer.
Okay. Yep.
Prosecution can only guess what.
Yeah, I've had a lot of conversations with the prosecution staff. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And I think we have Madeline Clark as the last individual to address this on public comment.
Madeline Clark, Elkhorn Slough Coalition. The reason I returned, Chair Young and members of the board, you asked yesterday, I made some reference to the Second District Court of Appeals ruling regarding 316B regulations, and you asked me specifically to highlight those particular findings that I mentioned in my report. So what I did is I printed out my statement from yesterday, and I'd like to submit it to the board for the administrative record, and I highlighted those particular findings that you were interested in.
Okay.
So do I give this to Carol?
That would be fine. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And then also I would like to share one other thing with you that I thought was of particular interest regarding once through cooling. I did have one question for clarification. I noticed on the agenda yesterday the Moss Landing Power Plant update was tied to pilot plant for desalinization, and I remember that Dr. Hunter had recused herself, but I don't remember if you recused yourself for my presentation.
The presentation was an information item, so there was nothing to recuse herself from. I'm not recused on Moss Landing issues.
Yeah, that's what I thought, and I just didn't remember if you were here or not when I gave my presentation.
Which presentation are you referring to?
Was about 10 minutes.
Yesterday's?
Yes, yesterday's.
Yes.
Thank you. I just couldn't remember, and I just thought, here's a copy of it in case you missed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Also, I wanted to share with you was an article that appeared in the Boston Globe on July 23rd, 2002. It was a federal EPA fix order for once-through cooling at the PG&E power plant. And the reason I call this to your attention is because the similarities are so great to the Moss Landing power plant. So with that, it's all river. I assume that's in Boston, but someplace in New England. State and federal agencies ordered New England's largest fossil fuel power plant yesterday to make environmental improvements estimated to cost $68 million to $250 million amid mounting evidence that hot water discharge from the Brayton Point Station was virtually wiping out fish populations in Mount Hope Bay. Biologists say that the warm water from Brayton Point, while not lethal to adult fish, is devastating to fish larvae, killing off entire generations of fish such as winter flounder. Although fish populations in the bay have been declining since 1979, they nosedived after 1984 when plant operators converted a previously closed-circuit cooling system to an open cycle, increasing the plant's withdrawal of cooling water and the discharge of warm water by about 45%. That's the same thing that happened at Moss Landing, same figures. The local fishery, which in 1986 accounted for 12.7 million worth of flounder, of winter flounder, and several less popular species, has all but disappeared. According to statistics compiled by the Rhode Island Department of Environmental Management, the loss has also damaged the local economy as recreational anglers gave up on fishing on the bay. Now, I have the complete story that I also will submit into the record, but this is what was important. As you know, ground fishery has collapsed in the Monterey Bay, and as I mentioned yesterday, we see the impacts on the sea otters. So thank you very much for your time. The last thing I want to say is in your agenda packet, there was a map. A picture is worth a thousand words. Where you see the discharge, it's only 600 feet offshore. It's 1,000 feet from the mouth of the Elkhorn Slough. These sandy flats are where fish come to spawn, so they're immediately impacted by this discharge that sweeps into the Elkhorn Slough. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you. Jan McClintock?
Good afternoon, and I promise not to say a word about Los Osos. I'm from San Juan Batista, and I am the fourth city manager you all have met in the last 2 years. Hopefully, I'll be around a little bit longer. Today, I want to give you a real quick update on our work towards the Salt Reduction Project report of November 17, 2004, as part of the Pollution Prevention Plan. On that, we were asked to address public outreach, which you included as education of customers on salt and waste issues, encouragement to move towards potassium chloride regeneration for water softeners, improving the efficiency of existing water softeners by setting regeneration to 4 to 5 days, replacement of all commercial softeners with portable exchange units, and movement of existing softeners to high efficiency units. You also requested that we work towards a new surface water source, and that we work towards replacement of on-site regenerating softeners with off-site regenerating softeners. To give you an update of where we are on those tasks, in 2005, San Juan Batista joined the Water Resource Association of San Benito County. The purpose of the Water Resource Association is education and outreach for the San Benito County on waste and water, it's particularly softener issues. They have such projects as the low-flow toilets, They're currently developing with Lloyd Bracewell a rebate system for water softener exchanges that has been delayed a little bit because of some problems with the studies. It was expected to be in place this spring. It is now expected to be presented to their board in September for approval and hopefully implementation in October. We have proposed a new rate with the 218 process currently ongoing. That rate will support the building of the new water treatment and surface water mixing plant. We hope that that will go through well and that rate will be in place for the December billing. The devil's in the details, though. In the last 19 months in San Juan Bautista, the sodium concentration has dropped from an average of 245 to 278 for a total of 27% reduction. The influent wastewater chloride has reduced from 338 to 239 for a total of 29% reduction. That influent reduction has been achieved by, we have three wells. We've turned off one well. We use one well only in emergency circumstances, and we are primarily relying on the one well that does have the lower rates. So as long as we can achieve our necessary input until the plant is built, which we anticipate 18 months, through the one well, we should be fine. We've reached an agreement with the San Benito County Water Board, and so we've returned to active implementation of the new surface water treatment plant. We're 90% engineering complete. The bids will be released in the fourth quarter. The plant will have a 1 million gallon per day capacity. We think we've done a lot of work in a short amount of time with a very short staff. We look forward to working with you. We feel we will be in full compliance by 2008 when the plant goes online with all of the current standards for salt water and for salt and for chlorides. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. One last note based on something I heard, I'd like to advise your staff that Caltrans is working on a major expansion of 156 through the San Juan Valley that will go through DDT contaminated lands. They're looking at a 4 to 6 lane interstate with two lanes of access road on either side. The value analysis proposition is currently being reviewed by Rich Rosales in the San Luis Obispo office now. I do not remember seeing any of your staff as part of the stakeholders for that value analysis, and I think you probably should be. So if you have any questions, be glad to answer.
Thank you for your comments.
We'll check up on the Caltrans project as far as, and it sounds like you're concerned about the fate of possibly contaminated soils.
We're concerned about water runoff because that's a percolation flood area. It goes directly into San Juan Creek, which goes to San Benito River, which goes to the Pajaro River. So we're concerned about flooding. We're concerned about the contamination and stirring up the DDT that right now is sitting in the soil semi-stable. As we can tell by the runoff, maybe not so stable. So we're concerned about a lot of issues, as well as air quality issues.
Okay, thanks for that alert.
Thank you. Okay, that completes public comment. Our last agenda.